All right, so there are people, many people out there, who believe that faith and reason do not mix. It has been said that religion is the opiate of the people. Do you know what that means?
Opiate.
What's an opiate?
It sounds like a drug.
It's a drug.
It's a pain reliever.
A pain reliever. Or and what, when you're on opium or an opiate, what does that do to your thinking? Not clear thinking, but it dulls the pain.
You have a mental capacity of a light bulb.
There you go. So, some people believe that when you have faith in God, that it makes you a weak person. Many people believe that. In fact, there was a particular governor who, back a few years, said that basically it's a crutch. Religion's a crutch. Strong people don't need it. Many people say, if you have real reason, if you have real, true reasoning skills, then you wouldn't have faith. Because they're totally opposite. Many people believe that. And so, what people do is they say that we're going to build up this body of evidence. And this body of evidence is going to be science-based. Archaeology. I think I even spelled that right. Mathematically based. Okay? And it's going to be based on history. And we are going to say all people, the people that believe in this group of things, science and mathematics and archaeology and history, couldn't possibly believe, if they have a good, solid reasoning mind, they couldn't possibly believe in faith. Because faith, they believe, is the opposite of reason. All right? So I'm going to look at this a little differently tonight. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what these mean, first of all. And let's first of all define reason. What do you think reason means?
Using your brain to make decisions.
Okay, that's a good...
Using your knowledge.
Thinking about...
Okay, so, so it's the ability to think. And you said to make decisions, so in other words, you come to a conclusion, right?
And then you think through the steps and like where the outcome is.
Okay, so you can think through a process or an outcome. You can say, I'm going to get to this point, okay? And why something is. So you guys have hit it. Why, I'm going to use the word, you can make a judgment. Okay? Is that true? Does that seem to be reasonable? What reason is? How's that? Not bad. What reason is you can think, right? As a human, you have a brain, and you use that brain to think, most of us anyways, right? You can come through a process, you can come with an outcome, you can come to a conclusion from what you see, all right? And you make a judgment and say, off of that, because I see this, this is true. Seem reasonable? Anything seem wrong in that assumption? No, good, because that's the definition in the dictionary. But that's we're assuming that the dictionary is correct, first of all. And we'll get to that in a moment. How many of you have ever seen a tape measure? I hope all of you. Okay. If you pull out a tape measure and it reads, we'll say I pull a section, the first section out, and there's my little hangy thingy over there, a little clip on the end. And I have all my graduations. And I'm going to say this is 12 inches. Of course, this is drawn perfectly to scale. And this is 0 inches. Okay. And I look at that. how many of you take that tape measure and take another tape measure and measure the tape measure to make sure it's still 12 inches?
I've never done it.
Sometimes.
Sometimes you do that. Why do you do it?
Because not all tape measure manufacturers are equal.
Okay. All right.
Because you're oversensitive.
How many times do you do that, Eli?
When I buy a new tape measure.
You buy a new tape measure. Do you continue to do it?
No.
Okay. So, Eli, maybe the only person, and that's fine, he can. He re-measures his tape measures when he buys them, okay? So, when Eli re-measures his tape measures, he does it once, correct? You don't go back and re-measure the re-measure, right? Okay. So, once you've verified that that is a foot, then you believe that's a foot. Next time you pull it out, I'm going to measure it. I'm going to say, I can for sure say that's 12 inches.
How do you know the one that you measured with is 12 inches?
You don't, do you?
Oh, no.
You don't, do you?
Why do you only buy one brand of tape?
And how do you know that if I had my fingers apart just what that tape measure says, and even if 10 of them agree, how do you know that that's really an inch?
You don't, but you just kind of go along with it.
It's an inch in your world.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to take that, though, and I'm going to say, with my usage, I measure it, and I'm going to say that's 12 inches, okay? It's going to be 1 foot. And then somebody else, I tell them it's 1 foot long. I hope their tape measure is the same. I hope they re-measured their tape measures and didn't buy cheap ones, right? Accurate. And then after I've used that for a few times, do I know that that tape measure is pretty accurate? At least in a relative term, right? I know that it's the same. It hasn't moved, correct? Hasn't changed. Long as there's no visible damage. If I open it up one day and it's torn in half, I probably won't use that one anymore. Send it back to the company. All right? So say, your stuff is broken. And then you for sure won't be the same. So the same thing goes for a scale. It's a pretty basic thing, right? How accurate's a scale?
Sort of.
Pretty accurate.
Could be.
Or maybe not. Nope.
Could not be.
It definitely varies. Depends on how. From experience, I can tell you the different scales do not tell you the same thing.
Okay. All right. So how do we start with a scale and know it's correct?
You don't.
Well, someone did.
Someone did. Who's that somebody?
Somebody.
Dead.
This is my foot. It's
gonna be. Somewhere along the line, it was created, and then that instrument was there, and once we sent it, so say we found a company that says, I'll calibrate your scale. I'll put it to the standard weight, so I know. I'll use a physical weight that everybody in the world has agreed is 1 pound. Put it on your scale. If you've done that, do you believe them then? At some point, you're probably going to believe them. Is it accurate enough for you to sell blueberries by the pound?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just give me the blueberries.
Right. I'm saying this, and you may not send your bathroom scale to be calibrated, and I hope you don't, because really, it's probably close enough, okay? But as you continue into a scientific thought, now those are things you might use in an average day, okay? Average people use those things, and they believe that that 1 foot is 1 foot. And as you take a tape measure out, and there's a law. And that law says your building can only be 70 feet from the edge of someone else's property. And you measure that. You can prove to that person whose job it is to uphold the law by taking a tape measure and saying it's 70 feet. Okay? So there's an agreement. This seems reasonable. We're working within this set of numbers. Okay? We've agreed. What is a foot? A foot is nothing. A foot is a length that people agreed upon at one time that that's how long a foot is. It really doesn't matter. It could have been a tiny bit longer or a tiny bit shorter. It really wouldn't matter as long as everybody's working on the same scale, right? Really doesn't matter because it's a way to communicate what you're doing. And a way that you know what you're doing is the same as what other people do. Okay? It is, by the way, and if you're a little shaken on this whole thing, and next time you get on your bathroom scale and you're not quite sure whether you are 3 pounds less or 4 pounds heavier, and you really don't know, and you're really shaken on this whole thing, then you ought to rethink the whole world of science. Because it's all based upon a beginning agreement of measurement. Okay, all right? Yes. Whether it be in meters or feet, it absolutely does not matter. The only thing is, now they've converted many things to meters now, because you can now communicate in other scientific communities around the world. And that's why they do it. Okay? So, the same goes with math. What is one?
One is a number.
This many.
It's like...
One after
a single thing. Minus. That somebody one. Came up with.
Exactly,
that, like,
Audrey.
You know what?
It is a concept. It is a concept. One is a concept. And they teach you that one... is one unit more than zero, right? So if I have one Bible, and I take one more Bible, now I have two Bibles, because we agreed to say that this is two. Okay? Because one plus one is two. Not because it's something out in nature that happened, but because man agreed to say, okay, if we look at that, we're going to call that one. We could have called it microphone.
Uno.
Oh. We could have.
I wouldn't like that.
Probably not.
Right. One, microphone, three,
five,
six.
Microphone,
okay.
Table.
So the idea is if you now have some sort of standard, you've created a standard. And how do they do things in science? What do they do? A real scientist does what?
Observe, quantify things using numbers.
Observe, they quantify things, they use numbers with them. Actually, if it's just numbers, it's a mathematician.
They think, yes.
Analyze.
But how do they take and quantify things?
They
experiment. And what are they experimenting with?
Numbers.
Usually measurements of some sort. Okay? Can be distances. It can be weights, which actually is probably mass. And if they are deciding what a weight is, they're taking mass and they're multiplying it by what? 9.81 meters per second squared, which is what? Gravity.
6.02
times 10
to the 23rd. That's a mole.
That's a mole. Yeah. And those, listen, you guys know them. You guys have been trained to know exactly what it, but how do you prove what's in a mole?
Oh,
Lisa
said that.
Because somebody told you, and somebody measured with instruments.
Someone had the time to do it.
Apparently. Okay. So somebody said, gravity. meters per second squared. Which, what in the world is a meter per second per second?
It's how much per second.
The change in speed as time goes on, okay? So, as you look at that and you say, okay, I don't even care about that, but somewhere along that line, someone measured it. And then, in all of your calculations, in which you know how much you actually weigh in pounds or in kilograms.
How much is that, kilometers?
Yeah. Okay. In pounds or in kilograms, you use that standard. You use that standard because you trust that that's pretty accurate. Now, I'm saying this, and that's not a bad thing to say, well, I don't trust it just because everybody else does. True. In some of our physics classes that I've taken, I've proven that to myself. We have measured with semi-crude instruments, okay? We've measured with time. And literally measured things with the arc of how marbles have gone and all sorts of things to measure gravity. And we've proven that that was pretty accurate.
We have to repeatedly prove that gravity exists.
Like, so that's really the question. Once you've proven that gravity exists, do you need to prove it every time?
No.
Just like once Eli remeasures his tape measure to make sure it's accurate, because he's a remeasurer, okay? Once you do that, once, I think you learn to trust your tape measure at that point, right? Yeah. And say, this is pretty close enough, okay? Just like gravity. I'm not going to reprove gravity every time I say, how much do I weigh? Oh, let me check gravity again, and I'll have to do an experiment and make sure. Okay, so I'm beginning this to tell you this. You all assume something in your daily life. You have to. Because you're not going to reprove everything every moment that you start. Otherwise, you'll never get anywhere in life. Now, maybe you need to prove something for yourself to begin with. Maybe you say, I don't believe for one second that gravity is, that the constant for gravity is 9.81 meters per second squared. I don't believe for one second. Well, prove it to yourself. And then move on, okay? Move on at that point.
Too many people, I think it's only
9.8. Okay, so reason starts out in a place in life where we say, reason, we're building some sort of amount of science here. We're using our reason to put together scientific equations, right? And I told you about mass. Right? We talked a little about mass. Another one that you use regularly is the speed of light. You don't even know it.
E equals mc squared.
There you go. Because it's the most famous thing that has ever been said almost. And everybody knows E equals mc squared. And everybody says, oh, that's such an amazing thing that he found that. Energy equals mass times the speed of light. Squared. C is the constant for the speed of light. How many of you have ever measured the speed of light?
Okay. No. With my really, really big ruler.
There were people, I want to say, it's been so many years I don't remember. There are people that have literally gone to the mountaintops apart and used mirrors and to measure the constant of the speed of light.
These people are dumb.
And not only doing that, they've proven that that speed of light at that current time, at least measured exactly what the mathematician said it should. Okay, so it makes sense. And at some point in time, you say, okay, do I really need to continue to question the speed of light? Maybe. There are some people who believe that the speed of light is actually slowing down as time goes on. Is that possible? Maybe. Now, will that affect your world? Probably not. Okay. What I'm telling you is, every day you begin with assumptions in your life, and you don't even think about them. You don't wake up in the morning and say, I better figure out what the constant for gravity is again. I just want to check. I just want to make sure. I want to really make sure this time if it's real, in case if it changed overnight. After a while, you say, seems pretty constant enough for me in my life, okay? I guess if I really need to calculate something, I'll probably just use that one and not figure it out again by myself. Okay. So, there is some level in the beginning. And when we're talking about faith and reason, there is some level when people say, well, there's no way that faith and reason can mix together. There are many people in the scientific community that say just totally opposite. There is an amount of faith that people have in what they're doing. Can it be verified? Sure. I could take my ruler and remeasure every ruler. But at some point, I start saying, well, this is stupid to remeasure my ruler again and again and again. And then, what about the ruler I just measured it with? Shouldn't I measure that one with another ruler just to make sure? And then shouldn't I measure the other one with another ruler? And it never ends. It never stops. Okay? At some point, you say, I'm pretty sure that when I use this scale in my lab to measure something, or I use this ruler in my lab to measure something, or I use time, my watch, to measure something, the speed of something, it's pretty close. I have faith that this is actually pretty accurate. That's a reasonable assumption after some time, because it's proven to be accurate time and time again. That seems to be a reasonable assumption. So in that fact, there is the opposite of what they claim. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, and look at the definition of faith.
Oh, there it is.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Eli, would you read that for us, please?
Now faith is a substance of things.
Okay. Substance and evidence. Substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. At some point, I have to have some level of faith. As simple as this. Pull up the chair. Chair. I sit on it. First time I might do it a little bit tenuously because I may not have sat on this chair. I didn't really look over all the joints before I sat down. I can wiggle it. Held me. So as I stand up, I can sit down again because I just proved it. It held me. Pretty simple. Worked, right? And then I could pretty accurately say that chair holds me. I believed it when I sat down on it. The first time. I hoped it would hold me up to avoid you all laughing at me, okay? As I fell to the ground.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I've worked with teenagers for a long time, and I know that's like, I just know how this goes, okay? I believed it was going to be that the substance would be there, okay? The evidence is this. I've sat in other chairs much like it. If it appeared to be a toothpick, I might be a little more tenuous about sitting down in it. But what do I use to figure out to make that decision? Right? I'm reasoning a little bit, right? I'm thinking a process through. I'm coming to a conclusion. I make a judgment. I'm going to sit in that chair. If it appeared to be a toothpick, and I said, I'm not sitting in that chair because I don't have the faith in that chair. But I have faith that that chair will hold me up. Now, this isn't like eternal faith. It's just faith that the chair is going to hold me up, right? It's no big deal if I fall. But I still have the same concept. It's there, and it will support me when I sit in it. All right? It didn't take a weight that weighs the same as me and set it on it and prove it. I didn't do it. I just jumped it myself. I didn't have to. I have enough belief that the chair was going to hold me because it seems like it would. Makes sense to me. Okay? So, substance of things hoped for. I hoped it would hold me up. The evidence, I have not seen evidence. And I can say, well, I'm a pretty scientific guy, but I did not pull out my weight and make sure before I did it. I just did it. Okay? You make decisions like that all the time in your life. You get in a vehicle. Every one of you get in a vehicle. You've never met the engineer that made it. You don't know if he's a wonderful guy or a terrible engineer. Did you check his transcript in college? Did he fail analytics or mathematics? Did he fail physics? Because you may not want to drive the car that he is on there. But you have faith when you get in it that it's going to work. And not just the first time and say, whew, got through that one. You drive it for years. And you have faith that someone made enough of a judgment to put enough rust-proof stuff underneath to hold you up, that the rubber and the tire is going to hold you up. People do it all the time. Anybody ever ridden on a motorcycle? A couple of you? Okay. You got to have a little more faith with that one. Okay. Because there's less between you and the ground. And there's only two tires. That means if you blow one, unless if you can ride a wheelie all your way to the safely to a landing, you're going down. I have come off the top of a motorcycle before. Oh. Yeah. That is not a friendly throw. That's your thrown off.
Have a good day.
I was thrown off a motorcycle before. Yes. Not a fun thing. Okay? But yet I still got back on the motorcycle and said, pretty sure this will hold me. Let's go.
I mean, think about the times you didn't.
Right.
Versus the times you did.
Pretty good, I guess. Okay? So here we are in this thing saying, well, does faith and reason really mix? Does faith and reason really work together? And I'm saying, just for many scientific experiments to begin with, you are believing that someone in the lab measured accurately, that their scale and their ruler and their time clock and their whatever was accurate, and that someone else checked it out. and before you got in your marvel of engineering called an automobile, that it was all the right measurements that somebody made and the right judgments that somebody made. Put it all together. You have faith in that. Now, each time you get in that automobile, you might say, the last few times it held me up. Is that a reasonable judgment to make? You're all thinking people here.
Yes.
Well, I hope so, because you all get in them every day, right? Otherwise, that's dumb. We made a completely irrational judgment, and we're going to follow it every day. Yeah. No, not a good idea for thinking people. Okay? Not a good idea for a whole society to say, pretty sure we're going to drive in these automobiles, and we know they're unsafe. Okay? But we say, you know what? This seems to be good. And there are mistakes that are made in automobiles. And things that... And people do get hurt in automobiles. And you hope that those engineers go back and relearn and refix, hopefully before more people get hurt. There are things that they find. They call them recalls. That means I made a mistake. Okay? Sometimes the government has to force them to go take it back. But they make mistakes. And yet we put belief in those things. That Ford or Dodge or GM or whomever cares enough about its customers that it would do it. That it would be safe. It would build something safe. Okay? Not always the case. But we do it every day. Right? We make that reasonable thing, but we're making some sort of level of judgment to say, I'm pretty sure everything they did was close enough that I'll put my life on the line in there. What happens if your brakes don't work in your car?
Well, there's a problem.
What happens if they fail at the time you need them?
Crash.
But you believe every time you get in. How many of you, honestly, a couple of you drive, how many of you do a brake check when you get in your car?
Well,
yeah. Well, you know.
I do.
You hope that it's going to work right.
I'm not going to start driving and just go, whoop, let's get out of here. I'm going to stop at some point before I actually get going.
So you might make sure that this is still operating, okay? And then after that, you're not going to check every mile. Just do the brake check. Brake check. Okay? Because then your brakes won't work eventually if you keep doing it, all right? So there's some level of faith that you have, that you put in things. You just do it by nature. Here's the thing. Back to my chair, back to a car. I got in my car. It's not that great looking of a car, our little van. And I put my entire family in that van. And we drove almost 24-hour trip, round trip. Put my faith in the vehicle that it would at least get to Maine and back. Driving in the middle of the night, doing things like that. And that's a semi-reasonable thing to do. Okay? Seems semi-reasonable. If something failed, I would hope a safety system would work or that I could get off the road at that right time. But I don't have any reason to believe that it would fail. I looked things over beforehand, but I didn't tear down every screw on the car. Check some basic things. Okay? So I do that with my senses. I do that with my experience. Now, here's one thing to know. Faith is one of those things. Faith needs an object. Faith needs an object. I have to put my faith into something. I just can't have random faith. I'm a person of faith. What does that mean? Faith in what? I have faith in a chair. Does that make me a person of faith? Well, for that chair, I can have faith in the chair. I can have faith in the car. I can have faith in another person to say, I believe that person will do right by me. They'll make a good choice when it comes down to it. I can have faith in this building. No one's ever checked the load to see how many teenagers fit in this room until the floor joists crack and we go crashing down on the children below us. No one's ever checked that. And yet, here is Evan and Will. They're jumping around here, doing things. Never checked it. You just believe it. Pretty sure it's never happened. And then, when they feel the floor bounce, they don't say, ooh, we should stop. No, they say, well, that's cool. Let's do it again.
Oh,
that's crazy.
You make the
hole. I believe you.
Like at the baptism when we put the whole choir on the dock.
Yeah. I personally drove those posts in, and I know that they may or may not hold you. I don't know, because I never tested it. They are. So faith needs an object. If you're going to have faith, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12 now. Verse 1 and 2, where we left off.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Okay, so the object of faith that most people are talking about when they say, well, faith and reason don't mix. The object of faith is Jesus Christ. If you believe in faith, in God, in Christ Jesus, then you're saying that I believe in the person that he is. All right? Just like if I was to pick Evan and say, Evan, I believe you'd make a good choice and I'd send you on a specific job for me. Okay? I might do that. And I might say, ooh, I'm not going to send somebody else on the same job. Okay? Because I don't have faith in them. I didn't pick anybody out here, not to shed tears or anything. Okay? So, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. That meaning that he created it, like an author does, okay, writes the story of what we believe in. He was the story, literally, being the Word of God, okay? And he finished it. He completed it. He made sure that everything we need to believe in is all set in place. When he died on the cross, when he then was buried and rose again, he completed what we need to have faith in. And when he made the promise to say, I'm coming again, that's where our faith lies. And the faith is not so much in some general future, it's in him. It's in his person. Because I can't look to anybody to do it. I have to look to him particularly and say, I believe in him. So is that a reasonable thing to do? That faith. You're going to have faith in something. You're going to have faith in something. You do it all the time. For them to say that science, or for reason and faith don't mix, or faith and science don't mix, is not really true. Because everybody uses faith in something somewhere along the line. They have faith in their scales. They have faith in their watches. They have faith in their iPhones. Okay? How do you know that the timer on your iPhone is exactly correct, precisely correct to the second. People just trust it. How do you know? You're putting faith in that. Okay? You're putting faith in that. So what do you choose to put your faith in? That's the question. It comes down not to whether faith and reason can mix, because I can say I totally believe in science. I totally believe in mathematics and archaeology and history. And I believe that all of the things that a true scientist will point to and look to, not with their own agenda, but if they are just seeking the way the world works, if they are seeking what they find in the underground, digging for an archaeologist, if they're looking at manuscripts, and I get what I get out of it. I believe that God started it, began all of that, put it all in motion, created laws of nature, and created a way that it all works. He was there from the beginning. He knows what happened. And so I put my faith and my trust in him. Any one scientist is a human. The all whole of science altogether, even still, is learning. Right? They're still learning. If you say, well, we know everything we need to know, I don't think it's true. God does. So I choose to put my faith not just in a chair, although I do that. Not just in an automobile, though I do that when it seems reasonable. But I think it's reasonable to put my faith in the object, okay, of Jesus. I think it's reasonable. Why is it reasonable? That's the follow-up question. Why is it reasonable? You put your faith into something till it fails. So if I go out and I get in my truck tonight and I go out there, and I drive down the road and all the wheels fall off.
What?
If I do that, tomorrow it may not be reasonable for me to get back in and try again until I look and try to fix what happened and what went wrong. Right? I'll make sure I put the tires back on. So what I'm saying is, I'm going to put my faith in something that I know works for me. How do I know it works for me? All right. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. You look at the nature of what it is. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. I look at the nature of this chair. And I say it appears to be made out of metal. I'm not testing it, but I see it from what I look at it. Pick it up. I have a touch. It feels cold. I know that metal tends to feel cold when it's in a cold room. Okay. Sounds like metal. Sounds, typically. Okay. And if I was to want to weigh it, I could do that. But I'm just using my senses. I can't really smell it. If I ground it, I can try to smell it. I don't know if that's sit on it again. But I'm taking my senses and say, this chair, I believe I can sit down in it again. Because I sat down before, held me up before, used all my senses, didn't fall on the ground. With my feeling and touch, I would have remembered falling on the ground, right? But now I know. Seems to hold up for me. Okay? So Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. And this is why I think it's reasonable, very reasonable, and not unscientific, to be able to put my faith, my belief in Jesus. Where did we leave off?
In the Lord, he is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, for not, neither be dismayed.
Okay, so that says, in general, this is God's nature. He goes before you. In other words, he's already been there. He doesn't fail you. He doesn't leave you, doesn't forsake you. The chair eventually will age to some age where I might not trust it. By its nature, if I left it outside in the rain for a year, probably be okay. 10 years, I might look at it before I sit in it. Okay? 25 years, probably not going to sit in it anymore because I'm thinking, ooh, that's going to come apart. God and his nature, I put my faith in him. He's the same yesterday in my life. And when I test it out and find out he's there with me, then I believe. And I go to the next step the next time and test it out again and say, I believe a little bit more because my experience says he held me up last time. And I believe a little bit more. And that's reasonable for me to say my faith is growing. That's how faith works, right? Faith doesn't start out huge. It starts tiny. My faith in the chair was, looks like it might work. Tried it out once. Seems to work. I'll sit in it again. Same thing with God. Might work. Seems like it might work. Let me try it out. And as time goes on, you get to know that faith in God is a sure thing. It's something you can stand on, something you can believe in. You can always know. So when I was about 10 or 12 years old, I had a man that came. He knew I wanted to learn how to shoot a bow and arrow. And I had a recurve that I could use, recurve bow. Doesn't have any sights on it. It just has basically a stick and a string, okay? And when I first pulled that bow back, I lost every arrow. I had no idea where I was shooting because there's nothing to aim. I'm sort of holding the bow and looking at, he got me some bales basically to shoot into, looking at it saying, well, how high is too high? Well, I don't know. So what do you do? You take the first shot. That was too high, okay, way too high, or way too low. And try again, and aim again. And that's, it's called instinctive shooting. But basically, people can become very, very accurate by learning the bow that they're shooting. Now, I never was perfectly accurate, that's for sure, with it. But I got better and better, and I could hit the target as I was learning to shoot. And I never used a set of pins or a set of sights or anything like that. I just did it and readjusted and did it and readjusted. And I want to tell you, the bow never changed. The bow was always the same. It was the very same draw, the very same poundage, the very same string, the very same arrows. And I shot them, and I missed, and I missed, and I missed, and I missed, and I started to hit better and better and better and better. The bow was the exact same thing. I could throw that ball and say, this bow stinks the first time I ever missed. But is that true? No, it was me. I stunk. Okay? I should throw myself out and say, this stinks. I stink. I missed. Okay? What I'm saying to you is this. Faith works the very same way with God. God is the same forever. It is our ability to understand. Just like the bow works the same. Same poundage. It's the same thing again and again and again. But I have to understand how it shoots. I have to understand how God is. And readjust myself to make it accurate. Once I readjust myself and start to learn where that bow will shoot, always high and to the right. How much high and to the right? Well, it depends on how far I am and what the wind is like and many other things, okay? If I want to become good at it, I need to put my effort into understanding the bow. Otherwise, I'll never be any good. Same thing with God. If I want to have faith in God, and lay my faith in God, then I need to put myself in the effort into understanding who he is. I can't the first time say, well, I missed and that didn't work for me, and throw it out. Okay? My ability to gain accuracy with God and have faith be true and real in my life is my ability to adjust and understand God more. Okay? Just like that bow. I understand how it works. And then I am able to do better. Okay? That's how faith works. Starts with a little bit of growing, and you grow, and you grow, and you grow, and you become more and more able to lay more faith into God and know how he works and trust in him. Okay? To me, totally working together, faith and reason have no separation. You can fully be a reasonable person, scientific, mathematic, learn all you can. Be open to what God has to say. Because he created all that. He wants you to learn and discover. He wants you to create and have reason. He wants you to question things. He wants you to know why. He doesn't want you to just believe no matter what. He wants you to say, I trust you, Christ, because you've proven me that you hold me up. You're like the chair. Maybe I was a little tenuous the first time, but I start to learn. This will work. Okay? So faith and reason totally will work together. Totally will work together. Every scientist, every mathematician, there are assumptions that you begin with. There are things that you say, I have faith that this is as it is, and I'm going to start with there and move on. That's how it works. That's how science begins. Every science, every experiment begins with assumptions. Every mathematic begins with statement begins with assumptions. Okay? And typically, archaeology, when you dig into that in history, you do that, but then you may find, hey, this doesn't really line up with how it actually worked out. Good. Then you learn. And you have reason. And you make a judgment. And you continue. Okay? Never be afraid to use your reasoning skills to do things. Okay? Never be afraid to do that. God can handle that. Believe me, he's got much higher reasoning skills than all of us. Okay? He created reason and judgment in our brains. He wants us to use it. Okay? All right. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Thank you.